Hey everybody, and welcome to Nerd Radio, your national nerd net radio direct. How's everybody doing? How's it going?
It's good. It's good, Gerald. I don't know if you're asking about me, but it's good.
The jury's still out on today.
The jury's not sure.
I forgot I was in studio mode, so now you can officially see our shiny, bright and shiny faces. So yeah.
Bright and shiny faces, because my face is oily, so there you go. And that's on skincare.
So, hey, everybody. Welcome to the first ever Nick and Nate show. To the audio listeners, you might be a little confused, especially if you don't follow us on Twitter. But basically, we decided to drop all the pretense. And we're just like, you know what? It's the Nick and Nate show. Screw all this noob or nerd radio or this or that or anything. This is the Nick and Nate show. It's a show with a Nick and a Nick.
Yes. This is where the money, this is where the magic happens.
Yep.
So much magic. And some way. Yeah, so much magic just on my face, you know, just back, you know,
it's two shake weights at the same time.
Shake weight, shake that shit.
So, every Friday we will record live so you guys can join us for some tunes, some talks, and some good times. Or you can be a jackass and just listen to us later just through your ear
holes.
We
love you too. Don't let me discourage you.
Yes. Sure. But if you want to catch us live, raw, and in your ear hole or in your eyeballs, both of them. I mean, maybe even there'll be a time. There'll be a time where you can smell us. There'll be smell-o-vision, and you'll even be able to smell us.
I don't want that. I don't want that. What? Who
wants to shower before a stream?
I got to take a shower. You know, that would be that would make Twitch, the stock value of Twitch, go so down because it's like, oh, all of you gamer boys don't fucking shower.
So up because they'd have all the gamer girls. And you'd have a bunch of fucking pervos just wanting to smell them, just like,
you smell
dirty. Oh, it went to a really worst place that I was really anticipating. So, good night.
Any hosers. Let's get started, huh? So, something happened today. Something happened. Hi, T-Fools. How are you?
I had a vision.
Yeah. It was a Wanda full vision.
At least you tried.
Yeah. the finale of WandaVision happened today. Now, I don't know about you, but for the last two Fridays, I was like, fuck it. I'm getting up at 6 o'clock in the morning so that I can watch it. So that way I don't have to worry about getting spoilers anymore.
Right.
This time around, I don't really feel like there was a ton of spoilers. You know what I mean?
I was hyped to believe there was because yesterday they pushed out the message, don't spoil WandaVision. And I'm like, well, does she create the fucking mutants in this? Like, what's going on?
Right.
Like, what happens?
I think it's definitely a conversation to have that the hype and the speculation that goes on behind the scenes on YouTube channels. There's entire channels dedicated to, hype and just speculation or whatever. And maybe we have ourselves to blame, but when so many things didn't happen in this episode, it kind of just left me like, wait, seriously? That's it?
Kind of, yeah. I can 100% get that.
Because especially the end shot, spoilers if you haven't seen it, the end shot is her flying out of town or whatever, and she kind of just looks back at it longingly, and then it goes to fucking credits, and I'm like, what the fuck, guys?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's my live reaction.
And I feel like it made up for it in the very end as far as the credits are concerned. Well, so the biggest one was certainly the mid-credit scene. because it's like they're not playing around as far as like taking their time. Like they're going after this. Hey, Monica, you're going to space. Like you are going to become a superhero. Like we're not going to waste this over a couple of years.
I guess. I mean,
but also introduction
that was so inconsequential for me that it was just like, okay, cool.
But wait, there's more.
But wait, there's more.
Another thing it shows is I think this is also a first step tip indicator for Secret Invasion happening. Or Secret Wars.
Interesting. Yeah,
because we've already seen Skrulls at the end of Far From Home. It was at the end of Far From Home credits. Mm-hmm. Impersonating Nick Fury and Maria Hill. Well, this is just some agent in the FBI. So it's like, it's kind of showing how deep are they embedded as far that one, it's definitely, that was a Marvel in credits as far as like, we're leading you to something else. The other one I think is the most interesting.
True.
Because it's so like, what? It does two things. One, it definitely shows what, Agatha Harkness was talking about as far as she doesn't know what she released, because you can clearly see Wanda, normal Wanda, enjoying a cup of coffee on her porch. And in the very back room is the Scarlet Witch trying to figure out how to bring her kids back to life.
Yeah. So it's like now she has split personality, which I think is really interesting. Coach brings up a pretty good point. It adds pain that in the OG timeline, Doctor Strange 2 was going to be a month out. And I think maybe that's my biggest problem. It isn't that where are all the mutants? It isn't like where's Nightmare or where's Mephisto or something. It's none of that. What really bothers me is that the people themselves, Marvel, Kevin Feige, basically saying that this is leading into Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. So
but
by
we had
giving
no specific
us,
connection.
Exactly. By giving us that expectation going into this series, we only came up with theories that made sense to the multiverse because that's what they told us. You know, so I don't think that our speculation was so off the wall that we could, you know, like there was maybe a certain extent to it that was maybe just off the cuff or something. But a lot of it is because Kevin Feige himself was like, yeah, this is leading into Doctor Strange 2. What part of this is leading into I don't understand. Unless Doctor Strange 2 has something to do with Nova. Or not Nova. No. What's her name?
Who are you are you talking about? Monica?
Rambo, yeah. What's her...
No, Monica's going to be kind of in the same... So you know how they basically you could categorize the heroes as far as where... Like Scarlet Witch, obviously, Doctor Strange. Monica Rambeau is going to be more space Captain Marvel. Like, she's about to go to space. So really, for me, I think what they... It's the most subtle things. So the biggest one is... And obviously, we'll kind of be all over the place about it, but we'll kind of go back to it. The whole thing with Pietro.
Oh, God, I hated that. I hated that so goddamn much.
So everything that they're doing, I think it's 100% intentional. I think the explanation for what's going to happen with that is that necklace that he was wearing, I think, is a multidimensional totem in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. So with putting that on him, she was able to, Ralph in this universe is Pietro, and another universe. And so able to tune into that Evan Peters power and make him that person. So everything that they're doing is intentional. Here's the thing. They would not have cast Evan Peters in that role if they are not doing something with him being Quicksilver. I mean, it is so on the nose. It is so intentional that is not a red herring.
No. I don't know.
The problem is we thought it was going to be more direct. We thought either she was going to create an event that caused the Multiverse of Madness to start, or Doctor Strange was going to be a part of it as far as, showing up. So I think we were all expecting this to give us all the answers or in terms of basically outright saying, yes, this is it. But I think it was a lot more subtle than we were expecting. So in that way, it does kind of have a disappointment. Mm-hmm. But in the other way, the way this finished, I got to thinking about it this morning. I was like, this is why Disney Plus is such a good platform. This is why this was such a good idea, because WandaVision itself, or Scarlet Witch and Vision, that's like a comic run.
Mm-hmm.
So these shows, in a lot of ways, are comic runs.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It can be a self-contained story that's connected to the entirety of everything, but doesn't have to have the gravitas of, you know, a big budget movie behind it.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess if I look at it as a whole, it's disappointing. Mm-hmm. If I look at it as just WandaVision, it was satisfying because the way it wraps up the series was actually quite heartfelt. Like, she basically knew that, yeah, okay, it's done now. I need to move on. And the entire series has essentially been about grief and how one, you know, conquers it or deals with it or whatever. And so her finally basically being able to say goodbye to Vision or whatever was very heartfelt. And I really like that. So if you look at it just as WandaVision, I feel like this was a good end to the series. But unfortunately, WandaVision isn't WandaVision. WandaVision is a part of the MCU. And yes, we have that little tease with Rambo. And yes, we have the little tease with the Scarlet Witch at the end. But there's still just so much that, for me, it really is just all right here. Here, let me switch screens. Okay, there we go. Right here. Ah, why is it not working? Boom, there we go. Right here we have the wrap. 21 hours ago, Elizabeth Olsen says WandaVision is a complete tee-up to Doctor Strange 2. Once again, I have to say, how? Now, when we finally get to see Doctor Strange 2, we will get our answers. I understand. It's just the fact that there's just so much about this that they tease. There's so much about this that they put in Easter eggs. It was so much more And once again, from the WandaVision side, let's look at it positively. This was a Wanda story through and through. So they ended it in a very Wanda way. And so I do have to respect them for that because it was very much like it was her story. So instead of making it about the MCU, they made it about Wanda. So on that respect, or on that aspect, I have to respect them because they kept it about her rather than, okay, you know, what's going on over here and what's going on over there and yada yada. So I get it. I do really, 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 really get it. It's just that everything around this series with the people talking about it, they're the ones that really set everybody's expectations through the freaking roof.
Yeah.
So on your point about how this is just a comic run, yeah, that makes sense. That makes perfect sense. This is its own little side, you know, run that we can just enjoy as its own piece. I do also, if you think about it, the whole Rambo thing is almost like the Boba Fett thing, where like they're setting up another series in the mid-credit scene, which is exactly what happened with Boba Fett or whatever. So I like it.
But I mean, you're not wrong. That's I think the biggest thing I could say about it is the expectations were set so high, and we had a lot. We did expect a lot. Like, we expected either a name drop. And what we ended up getting, the connection Doctor Strange, was two name drops. One being the Sorcerer Supreme, the second being the Darkhold. So her name dropping the Darkhold, and us actually seeing that, and I guess that confirms in the basement that was the Darkhold, unless that's like a
that definitely confirmed it. Yeah,
so the Darkhold itself is a very powerful entity and deity. I think it either comes from not Cthulhu. there's the other one that they're talking about apart from Mephisto. C'Thun. Nightmare. C'Thun is his name.
Oh, well, okay.
C'Thun, or even Dormammu. But the Darkhold, the Darkhold and that name drop of Sorcerer Supreme, those were the connections to Doctor Strange. And I think where we were expecting something a lot bigger.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
It's a bad thing for WandaVision, but not a bad thing going forward. Because now going into Bucky and Winter Soldier, Falcon and Winter Soldier. Bucky and Winter Soldier, same person. Falcon and Winter Soldier. I already knew that it was going to be a more espionage, like it was going to be a different vibe and tone, but now I have my expectations not to expect these big, massive like the ending of this confirmed, okay, we're not going to see giant cameos. We're not going to see like Captain America pop up here. Like I have, you know, it's kind of Netflix, what Netflix is Marvel stuff, but in a more,
more direct
connected way.
So overall, what would you say now that we have it as a complete picture, what would you say your thoughts about it?
I would like to, after giving it a little bit of time, go through and watch it front to back.
Definitely.
I think that my favorite part about this is the tale of grief. It's not just a superhero origin story, like an origin story of the Scarlet Witch, which it is, but it's told in a very, like the writing on it is absolutely superb. The whole, because, you know, at the beginning, you're like, well, yeah, she created this reality or she maybe she did this or something. It's like, well, why is it TV? Flashback episode, they give you, I think, was a great expository episode because it not only retconned things before, but it, I mean, it gave you a lot more connection than you thought you needed from the previous movies.
Yeah.
6 years ago, but also explained, oh, hey, it's as simple as when she was growing up, they watched these American sitcoms.
Right. Right.
Of different eras and ages. And so that's her happy place. And that's why she created this world. And I love how they were able to answer every question we had for the most part throughout the end of the series. And Marvel, I noticed the trend with this that they have been doing is tying it to the real world in terms of characters inside the WandaVision show are vessels for the viewer. I mean, the questions we had, like the whole thing, whenever they're setting up and Agent Wu is, you know, writing on the board, like he's writing questions we have as viewers. Like, why is it a hex? Like, what's going on? And so they are making connections. And I think that them grounding this fantasy world, this Marvel world in ours only really kind of shows the strength of the writing that's there and kind of where their head's at as far as building this universe out.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd say as a whole, giggity. I'd say as a whole, the series, I really like it. It was very much a slow burn for the first couple of episodes. And so I wouldn't say it was a quote unquote slog to get through because they were enjoyable. I mean, I've been over it probably 100 times now by this, or at least 9. But the first two episodes I actually really liked as like standalone things, even without like the little hints here and there. I liked them as standalone thing because it was just interesting to see the characters we know and love, but in a completely new light. And it fits so well to the style that they were going for. The more the series went on, we had these little references like the Modern Family references and stuff, but they were so past it being a sitcom show and more just what's going on in her head that we really didn't get to, we didn't get to relish in that much. You know what I mean? Even the Malcolm in the Middle episode, I feel like we really didn't get to relish in the style of that.
Yeah. We didn't get to, it was like, it was a taste of it, but it wasn't a complete exact
Because by that point they were so into the actual story that they didn't keep worrying about the TV story, which at the same time is obviously understandable, but yeah, it's like everything together I really like it. And once again, if you just look at it as WandaVision, it ended very well. I think it was very much a Wanda story, and so that you do have to, you know, I'm sure they had to hold back more, even though they're setting up Rambo and they're setting up this or whatever, they could have done a lot more. I mean, like a really good example is Mandalorian and how just balls to the wall they were like, hey, General whatever and Ahsoka and all this other stuff that it's like they're clearly setting up their whole like extended universe for themselves or whatever. Yeah. And this was very much a Wanda story. So I do have to say that. So when we get back, I think we need to talk about Falcon and the Winter Soldier, our hype level. What do we think about it? All that good stuff. We have to talk about what is it going to mean and, you know, what's going to happen. So when we get back, we'll talk more about that.
running back. Because I'm awfully deceiving, I always say I'm fine, but that's not the true meaning. The walls are caving in and it leaves more feelings, but the only one that matters is I won't be defeated.
Woo! Woo!
Woo!
You sound like a tutu. What am I doing? Oh, that was right. You know, I think I'm finally going to be on your side. I need 3 fucking monitors.
Yeah, I know. It's doing it on one. So, like, with for me, where I'm at now, like, I have a big monitor here, and then I've got, like, my laptop screen. Even that is a pain in the ass. Yeah. Like, yeah. Not fun using one.
All right. So, we're back from outer space. I just came here to see that sad look upon your face. Why am I John Wayne?
Listen, at least up, hopefully you're John Wayne, not John Wayne Gacy.
John Wayne. Okay. So, since you brought it up, we definitely have to talk about it. Based on now what we have gotten from this, what can we expect from Falcon and the Winter Soldier? More specifically, part of what made this so addicting was kind of the mystery behind it all. So either that could work against Falcon and the Winter Soldier, or could work for if they do have some kind of a mystery, or maybe they don't have a mystery at all and we just need to really set our expectations for this being kind of like what you said, how this is more of an espionage thing. But still, you know, what can we expect? What do you think of?
Oh, this series, Falcon and the Winter Soldier, I think is going to be my favorite so far. Because the vibe and the tone it's given off is what I think made the Winter Soldier movie so good.
Oh, yeah.
Spy, good point, yeah. Espionage. Because I still think my personal favorite, in-game aside, in-game Infinity War, I consider... basically event movies.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, okay.
Winter Soldier and Civil War, I would say, are some of the best Marvel movies that we've had. And yeah, it's because I love the tone, the spy, the politicalness, like the political nature of it. And also we've got the buddy cop mentality of these two bickering, what's a good word for it? These two guys just bickering. And there's also kind of this like background power play of who's going to be Captain America, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's kind of, I think, the mystery that it'll take through the show of who that mantle is going to go to. Because even within the last couple of trailers, they've kind of led to that extent. But I think this is going to be a lot more fun. And I think that this is going to be overall a lot of people's, I think WandaVision might be a more critical darling favorite. Mm-hmm. And this might be a more popular preferred.
Yeah. I do have to say that, once again, only looking at as WandaVision rather than the MCU or whatever, I really have to do that because otherwise I'm just super disappointed. But if I just look at it as WandaVision, I think this coupled with Mandalorian, I think I've crossed that threshold where it's like they could pretty much do anything and I trust them at this point. And it's not just, you know, the MCU, obviously, it's Disney Plus in general. Like, they have proven to us that when it comes to these big flagship, you know, series, they know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, like, I fully trust them. It might not have mystery, so to speak. It might not have like jaw-dropping cliffhangers, you know, that make me can't wait for the next episode, but I feel like they're gonna make me can't wait for the next episode in many other different ways, you know what I mean? I feel like there's so many opportunities for it to basically go, okay, you know, oh, what about this, and what, you know, like, I don't know why I do that. But yeah, in general, it's like I can't wait. We got Coach in the chat, Falcon and the Winter Soldier in 2 weeks. I personally love WandaVision. Yeah, definitely. I think the other thing that's kind of cool, like, that I didn't really realize until recently, that we really didn't have that big of a a lead off for Falcon and the Winter Soldier. I thought it was going to be a little bit like, well, maybe a month later. No, it's only like 2 weeks. And then I think after that's Loki, correct?
So it's yeah, like we're getting, after that is
we're
Loki.
Getting such a good drip feed. And yep. coming from like MCU fans, the fact that we're getting this nice drip feed when we had an entire year of just nothing, just like cold turkey, is really nice. And I really, really like it. So I can't wait for it. I honestly think it is. It very well could go along the line of Mandalorian, where they have like missions, for instance, and so each episode could be its own thing, and then there's just this overarching, maybe not mystery, but this overarching like, okay, somebody's pulling the strings, you know what I mean? I think that could be what we're going to end up getting. And so for that, I think, you know, we definitely have to set our expectations. Because a really good example is, I have to keep going back to it, but Mandalorian. Mandalorian season one, I really liked. I really, really did. But there was a part of me that thought that it was going to be serialized rather than episodic. So when it became episodic and there's basically a new story each time, it kind of like threw me for a loop. And even though I was able to enjoy it, it was just eh. So then season two came along. I had my expectations set properly because now I knew don't expect serialization, expect episodic. So because of that, season two, I enjoyed way more. And I don't think it was just because of the episodes themselves. I think it was because of me setting my expectations and knowing what to expect. You know what I mean? And so that can live or die by how much we're going to enjoy Winter Soldier, basically.
Yeah, or, and I'm watching, like, while you're talking, I was having, like, just the visuals of the trailer in the background. And it's just, everything about it screams what I loved about the MCU, especially going back to the original three Captain America movies. Like, just the energy and the action, like, you can see it even clear as day in here. Whereas with WandaVision, you can see that it is kind of separate as far as it has a different tone and feeling. This feels like the movies, and it's like, fuck yes, dude, it's been a year. Give us this. And just the banter in between the two, like the relationship they're building up, it just, this is gonna be such a fun time.
Yes.
And I agree with you, the drip feed is so nice.
Yeah. And Coach in the chat, we're basically getting a new Star Wars / Marvel year round with Disney. Whatever happened to White Vision? No. Ooh, yeah. He got Vision's memory back. I thought the end thing was going to be him in a log cabin trying to figure out who the fuck he is, but instead it ended up being Wanda, and I'm like, oh, what the hell.
Yeah, I love the way that they ended that, though, going to the White Vision, is how he's like, we've said goodbye multiple times. She's like, and so, which means we'll say hello again. It's
like
that was so poetic and so beautiful. That I thought the it was going to end with them merging, like actually
me too definitely,
especially during that scene. And that scene was great too, them floating around the library like it, basically seeking this knowledge. And it was very the entire shot was so well thought out. And White Vision was really cool. That I feel like the fight scene wasn't enough, but I don't think that they were trying to go for Vision versus Vision. They were trying to basically have these two halves come together.
Yeah.
So it happened. It played out the way that it was designed.
Yeah. Yeah. I really liked it. All right. So that was Wanda. A little bit of what? But let's get into what have we been playing. So what have you been up to since the last time we talked to you?
So I finished Ghost of Tsushima, got the platinum. So I haven't been playing that really at all. Tried to hop back into Cyberpunk for about an hour, and it just kind of one of those, still wasn't feeling it. So what I have been playing most consistently is Sly Cooper Thieves in Time on PlayStation Now. Yeah. I had played it when I got sick with COVID in January. Like I'd started it and I was like, okay, this is, you know, this is hitting that nostalgic itch, but now I'm like a couple like levels in and I'm like, oh, okay, no, this feels good. Like this is, I'm kind of invested in this because it's one I never played.
Yeah.
And Sly Cooper is one of my favorite series of all time when it comes to video games. But also speaking of Avengers, I did actually finally buy Lego Marvel Avengers.
Oh, yay.
Because it was like $8 for the deluxe edition. And I... Lego Marvel Super Heroes 2 is cool, but it does way too fucking much. Like,
yeah.
The first one was really good, and it's a really fun platinum because it's very satisfying from start to finish. Mm-hmm. This one's more like, hey, it's this open world, hub world, do this, do that, do this. And it's like, well, if I want to just go in and basically play the missions from the movies, like, it's a good platinum, it's a good time waster for $8. So... I've played a little bit of it. It is weird though, because it does show like the Legoized version of the movies, and it's kind of one of those weird because it does have the audio and dialogue from the films.
Yeah.
So it's like, eh, that's odd. But no, Sly is what I've been playing the most of, and having a really good nostalgic trip with that.
Speaking of nostalgia.
Oh, there you go. Nah. Perfect segue.
I've been playing Final Fantasy VII Remake. And so we got that for free, PlayStation Plus. And for as long as it's out, it obviously ended up getting nominated for like Game of the Year and all this stuff. And all last year, ever since it's been out, it's just like, God, I wish I would have had money at the time. But I'm a broke-ass bitch, so I just didn't have the money to pick it up. Now we got it for free. I'm so excited. I started it up, and my God, my nostalgia boner was rock hard. Like, it's so funny how something that is a remake, it is different, can feel so at home, you know? Because obviously in the original... It, when you're in the open world, you're, you know, it's a top-down sort of thing, and it's all blocky. And then when you get into the battles themselves are turn-based, and so it's like click, wait 3 seconds, and then they'll attack, click, 3 seconds, and then they'll attack, things like that. Whereas this one's very much like, I wouldn't call it button mashing by any means, but it's just like boom, 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 boom.
It's an action game.
It is an action RPG. And yet... it still feels so much like the original in so many ways. I love their combat system. I love that I know what's going to happen, but I also don't know what's going to happen because they very well could end up changing things up for me. And I love that feeling because it makes it feel like, okay, I'm putting on a nice, you know, warm cardigan or whatever, and it's familiar to me, but... the outside world is still unknown to me, and I really, really like that. I love how, like, you can switch between characters, so I can switch to Barrett and use his giant-ass Gatling gun hand or whatever. And I love, like, the synergy that happens. I like the fact that now you have a boss or whatever, you have to actually, like, defeat it in a particular way. Mm-hmm. And so far I've only gotten one boss, you know, I haven't had any other bosses, but like the way you had to take that boss on was very much like, okay, first it was just like boom, boom, you know, mash the hell out of, or do as much damage as you could. But then like the second stage was he would keep bringing up this like overshield. And so then you had to attack it from behind. And there was this, like, little shield generator or whatever. So you had to basically make sure that, like, Barrett, for instance, was in front of him, just peppering him with, you know, his Gatling gun, so that Cloud could then go around and do as much damage from behind. And then once you staggered him, you both could just, like, you know, lay waste, essentially. And then the third stage brought in his, like, big scorpion tail, and there's these huge, like, lasers or whatever. And so I like how it's, like, it's not just... you know, oh, here's this bullet sponge and I have to just keep going at it until he's done or whatever.
Yeah.
Giggity. I do like how there, it was a little bit more of a thinking man's, you know, like, okay, how am I going to
tackle this situation,
on, you know? So I really like that. Tifa is still God. I know that's like a 7-year-old me talking, but it's like, you know, it's still to the point where it's like, God dang, man. She's pretty. She's nice looking. She is not too hard on the eyes. So then the other thing that I've been absolutely obsessed with is Call of Duty.
Firebase?
Yeah. No.
Outbreak.
Yeah, which is essentially kind of open world zombies. Hold on just a second.
Yeah, pretty much when it comes to Outbreak, we streamed it a couple weeks ago whenever it came out, or last week sometime. And it was weird for me because, and I only really had a limited, you know, playtime when we were playing it there, but
right.
It gives you that aesthetic of Blackout, which is almost like a nostalgic kind of feeling. It doesn't, because Warzone, honestly, I think Warzone's getting the Fortnite treatment right now, where it feels like it's like, oh, it's Warzone. It's like the commercial. It's like everyone's fucking playing and talking about Warzone. And it's like, even in that world, it's like, it's just kind of meh and eh. But playing in like Outbreak, it reminds me of like almost identical to what is it called? Fireteam. Whatever the mode in Black Ops is.
Well, right. Yeah. That's actually where they get the maps from. So yeah.
Correct. Yeah. But even with that, I was like, oh, this feels like Blackout. This doesn't feel like Warzone. And yes, I actually definitely prefer that kind of, I guess the engine, like I prefer that kind of map overall. Mm-hmm. So it was really cool to have that kind of setting, but in a different play style.
Yeah. I mean, I love it. Not only that, but it's an easy way to level up the battle pass. So I've been leveling up the battle pass. I think I'm up to 20 already. So I'm on track to, I think, get it by the end of the season. So I like that. The season one was the first one I had ever gotten all the way up. So I'm excited to get this one all the way up too. Yeah. Jesus Christ, somebody's doing like construction in the background. So if you hear like doo, 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 it's like somebody's hammering down the floor below me.
He said stop.
Huh?
Hammer time.
Yeah, yes. Okay, give me a sec.
Yeah. What's funny about Call of Duty for me is that was the last time I played it was whenever we, you know, me and Nick had played it all together. So I don't know what it is about Cold War in general, but it's like I have a mood to play it, but it's not very often. Whereas yeah, I can remember playing Black Ops 3 religiously. Like yeah. Black Ops 3, I played every single day. So I don't know if it's just a lack of hook that's getting me or, you know, if it's adulthood as far as, you know, I was younger in 2015, didn't have nearly as many responsibilities. So,
yeah,
I don't know. It's interesting. But so you're having a lot of fun overall
with
it than anything.
I mean, I love all the side objectives. I love all the missions or whatever. I love the overall feel of it. They've come up with a really good flow, you know, and I think the coolest thing about it, I do have a standalone video that I'm putting out about my full views on it. But like what I love about it overall is that you can kind of go at your own pace.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like there's not a ton of zombies on the map, but then when you go to certain areas, some will spawn in. And so that kind of lets you choose what pace you want to go out rather than the round one, round two, round 30. Right. You know what I mean? Like you don't get to set the pace other than, okay, I'm going to leave two zombies and not kill them and then run around in circles, which is not that fun. After a while, it gets way too tedious because it's like you're trying to set up the Easter egg. You're trying to do all this stuff. And it's just like, okay, here I go, running in a circle again. Whereas this one lets you set your own pace.
Yeah.
You know, because even if I go into, let's say I go into a new area and it's a new set of buildings, there's not that many zombies that spawn that I can't take care of them quickly enough and then just explore the area. You know what I mean? Whereas if this was round-based, I'd go into a new area and I'd spend more time dealing with the zombies than I would be able to explore that new room or whatever. So I really like that. And then same thing with the side objectives and the main objectives. you know, those are the times when you get the most amount of zombies that spawn in. So it's nice that you basically get to choose when that happens. And that kind of choice is very good. Like, it's to the point where going back to a normal zombie map is actually very jarring.
Go
ahead.
I was going to say, I think that's part of the reason why I don't care for the Pines anymore, is because we played just even two matches of Outbreak on the Pines map. Mm-hmm. And after a while, it's like, I am running in the exact same fucking circle four mm-hmm. times now. And it's like, there's no variety at this point. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, the actual zombies map itself is much, much larger, and there's a lot more places to go. But not after like round 15. You've pretty much gone almost everywhere by that point.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So, I mean, just the variety and everything is really good. It's keeping me interested. And I mean, maybe your hook is we just got to play it more together, because, like, honestly, when you play with people, it's way more fun. A really good example is, like, let's say I'm doing an escort mission. You know, you have the little rover. It goes to one area. It'll, like, scan something, go to another area, and then it'll go to the third area. And there was this one time on this map. I've done it twice, one with people and one without people. When I did it by myself, that last area is this little island that the portal shows up on. And, like, maybe 15 to 20 zombies came out towards me.
Yeah.
Then when I did it with people, anywhere from like 50 to 75 zombies came out. So it was just this wave of zombies, and all four of us are just like, ah, and just mowing them down. And that was so much fun. It was so much, like, so gut-wrenching or whatever. So I really, really like that about it. Yeah. We're going to take another quick break here, and then we'll get into some news topics, or just, you know, what are we looking forward to, things like that. So we'll be right back with some more of the Nick and Nate Show right after this. So what's up? How's it going? I don't think I can hear you.
It would help if my microphone wasn't muted.
Silly goose.
Okay, I'm going to go close my door because I can hear music.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh, SpaghettiOs.
Yeah, let's try to be professional and not have loud-ass kids in the background, okay?
Who are you talking to?
It's more of a self burn there. Okay.
Fair.
So I one of the things I thought we could talk about is just some, you know, some goings on and whatnot.
What's going on?
And I said, I I'm doing the alpha.
I said, hey.
I said, hey. What's going on? All right. So this is something that I like to dub a non-troversy, because why does anybody give a shit? You know what I mean? Why? Why do you care? Oh, it's indoctrinating our children. So if you don't know what I'm talking about, I'm talking about Potato Head. Not Mr. Potato Head, just Potato Head. And so that's a thing now, because certain people have to see that as an attack. You know what I mean? And it's like, this is a question I constantly find myself. And to be fair, I also do the same thing with no matter what side you're on, when there's just this really, like, weird moment and I'm like, really? Really? But I have to ask myself, how do you live a happy and fulfilling life when something like Potato Head can just set you off and you're like, oh, oh my God, my whole day, it's ruined. Ruined, I tell you. I don't get it. So big question, Mr. Texas. I mean, we're both in Republican states, but Mr. Texas, what do you think about Potato Head? I'm from Idaho. I should start it off.
I was about to say, yeah, right.
I'll let you start it off.
I don't know if it's necessarily people complaining, more in terms of companies wanting to push past the curve and basically like see, okay, this is where the way of the world is going when it comes to society is, mm-hmm. you know, getting away from specific set genders mm-hmm. when it comes to all different kinds of media. To be honest with you, I don't think it sounds bad at all. It kind of gives me the Facebook and Facebook kind of vibes. Like Potato Head kind of sounds marketing wise like a better brand mm-hmm. because it's kind of one of those. It's not like, oh, it kind of goes from, I guess, taking Mr. Potato Head the toy to Potato Head as a brand. Exactly. Meaning you could have, you know, and you can have little hash browns as like little kids, you know. I mean, you can kind of go with stuff like that. Or tater tots, I think was the joke.
There's actually even eyes and feet that are animals.
I haven't fucked with a Mr. Potato Head in a long time. A long time.
My daughter got a thing for Christmas. It's a giant ass jug, and in the jug are smaller potato bodies, and then a bunch of different, you know, he pieces, a bunch yeah. of she pieces, and a cat and a dog piece. So here's my question to you. If I have a potato, hold on. Talk for me for a second.
I have a really funny joke that I not necessarily joke, but an idea that I thought about when it comes down to Toy Story. So let's see how this goes first.
I'm back. So, okay. Hold on. I got to get the things out of the holes. See, now this is one reason you should actually watch instead of listening. But here we go. What would you call that?
A potato?
Yeah, it's a potato-like thing. Yeah. Oh my god, its butt's missing. But what would you call that? Would you call this Mr. Potato Head?
No.
No, okay. I got visual aids. What about now? What would you call that?
Well, that'd be Mr. Potato Head.
Okay. What about now?
Questioning Potato Head.
My point is it has makeup on.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So is that still a Mr. Potato Head or is that a Mrs. Potato Head? You know?
It leads it to be ambiguous.
Exactly.
Which, you know, it's not necessarily a bad thing. This
toy is literally about mixing and matching different parts to make silly things. Now I can do that. Here, take the mustache off. There we go. That's what this toy is. This toy is about making silly faces or silly body parts, you know, do whatever yeah. you want or whatever. That's what this toy is. And, you know, maybe it's just the circles that I listen to. So maybe it's my own algorithm fault on YouTube. But, like, hearing people freak out about, you know, oh my god, now it's Potato Head instead of Mr. Potato Head. They're killing our childhood or, you know, some bullshit like that. It's like, no, dude, they're just evolving with the times. There's nothing wrong with evolving yourself as a person or whatever.
Right. Going to kind of similar segment, what do you think about the Disney Plus removals?
So explain, what do you mean?
So there were, and let me try to find the actual article itself. Fill time for me real quick.
I have this car. It's a bug. It's a little pink bug. It's actually my daughter's. But isn't it cool? Look at it. Or listen to it.
So this was actually from, like, this Polygon article was actually from January of this year. But Disney Plus quietly, the headline is Disney Plus quietly pulls Peter Pan, Dumbo, and a couple others from kids' profiles over racist stereotypes. So specifically, the kids' profiles of Disney Plus removes some of these, which... That I saw a lot today because people were sharing that and they're like, oh, are they really like they're killing our childhood? It's like, not necessarily.
I mean, if you're going to get upset about that, why not be upset about the fact that Disney Plus doesn't have Song of the South?
Well, it's well as far
it's a
as
dumb
the
thing to be
they,
to
as far as the movies that they pulled, Dumbo in particular, Dumbo is super fucking racist. Dumbo is a very racist movie. So that makes sense because
I've seen a horse fly and I've seen a cow fly. I ain't never seen
Okay, we'll get serious for a minute. As a cis white male growing up originally in California and then in Texas, so a lot I've had a lot more raising when it comes to conservative Republican nature. Mm-hmm. I had no idea how fucked up that movie was and the characterization in that movie until I was a damn adult.
Yeah.
Fucking 18, 19, 20. Like I didn't know Jim Crow.
Yep.
It is so, it's one of those, that's one of those, it makes total sense. Those movies, and especially Aristocats was another one. And they were like, why? And it was from that, with the fucking Siamese cats doing the chopsticks. It's like, as a kid, you don't know. You don't know the best stuff. And so that makes total sense to me. I feel like that makes a little bit more sense than, what was the one we were originally talking about?
Potato Head.
Yeah. As far as an outrage that people have, because it's like, oh, they're censoring our childhood. Well, it's like, no, they could do it in a different approach, like Looney Tunes did, like Warner did, where some of the older Looney Tunes episodes that could be seen as problematic, they have that banner at the front saying, hey, this was made in a different time. This doesn't reflect our current. So they could have done that, but I think it was easier for them altogether to just pull those, because there's so many other Disney movies to watch.
Yeah. I mean, it also brings up Dr. Seuss and how they're getting rid of certain books. But here's the thing that is also – this is why it's a controversy for that as well. It's not that they're getting rid of them. It's not that they're Nazi Germany getting all the books together and burning them. They still exist. You can still buy them online.
They're just trying to denormalize them.
Well, not that – it's just that they're not printing them anymore. That's it.
Well, yeah. What I'm saying is all of these things that are going on, they're trying to normalize the modern mindset and get away from, you know.
I just hate how the people who complain about this type of stuff and who complain about the cancel culture, quote unquote, they're not realizing that they love, quote unquote, a free market, but that's what a free market is. These corporations are making decisions based on the market of today, and that market of today doesn't like racist ass shit in their media, plain and simple. So they are a free market, and yet no, it's censorship, it's free speech, it's blah blah blah. I'm sorry, Dr. Seuss and Disney and so many things were made in different times. We can't be expected to just, like, it used to be okay to marry your sister. are we gonna start
the fact
they're taking away my past
as an example?
They're taking away my past. I want to marry my sister, damn it. She's a hot piece of ass and I want her. Okay, I want her good and hard.
God, someone please clip that out of context. Please clip that out of context. I am begging you for the love of God, please.
But, I mean, you see my point, though. My point is that there are
plenty of banjos.
Well, we did film Deliverance in Idaho, so just so you know. Anyways, so point being,
I'm in danger.
Point being is that there's so many things that we used to do, and now we freaking don't, and that's because time changes.
Yeah.
You know, and it's to get upset over something as silly as, oh, now it's not Mr. Potato Head. It's just Potato Head. Because like I said, there's this giant here. Talk for me again.
It's so strange when it comes to the arguments people have. And I think that is the side effect of systematic racism. And I've gotten to that point where it's like, if someone says that doesn't exist, that's a fucking lie. That's an absolute fucking lie. 100%. So for the people who are like, and it's mostly people like in my, not necessarily in my friend group, but like friends on Facebook, like people I know, stuff like that. They're more common to be like, oh yeah, so-and-so this is taking away my childhood. And it's not. It's that, like, that basically brainwashing of systematic racism of kind of what your beliefs were brought up on. It's also one of those that's a slippery slope when it comes to a lot of this. In particular, as far as Jesus Christ, Nick came back with a much larger potato head. I am almost positive.
Yeah.
What did you fucking bring?
Okay. So this is the thing I was talking about that my daughter got. See? So inside this giant potato head, we have a little part. See, this is a little wig. So now I can take my smaller potato head and see, now it has a wig. Okay. It's also got a whole nother potato head in it. It's got feet. Oh, Jesus Christ. It's got men feet, or I don't know. I'm not going to assume it's gender. Sorry. Hold on. Then it's got more feminine feet. Is that better
than saying it's lady feet? Yeah, that's.
See, because these are clearly high heels. See? And then all the way down here, it's got an even smaller one. So either that could be a baby. I think that's actually for, like, the dog and cat. They have smaller ones for the dog and cat. So, oh, and then there's the top hat. It's got it's not a top hat. It's a bowler hat.
Yeah.
So there you go. And all of these same things. Get the nose. No, mustache! Mouth. See? Hold on, I must ask you a question. They all go in here. Oh, I might as well take that off. Put it in there. There we go. See? It's this giant thing. Now, when you have a giant potato head with a bunch of interchangeable gender pieces inside of it, should you still call it Mister? Like, I don't know.
Well, so, and this is what I was saying earlier whenever I was filling time. I don't want them to make a Toy Story 5. I don't want them to continue making these.
No, yeah.
But good Lord, if that's made in the next couple of years, that would be really funny if they were able to sneak something in as far as, like, let's say a scene. It's like, hey, Mr. And then it's like, what do you can't? No, you can't. You can't do that. If they were able to.
Who are you calling Mr.?
Who are you calling Mr.? Yeah. She's like, it's potato head. Yeah, if they made some kind of joke or reference, I think that would make me very happy. But again, Pixar, don't make a Toy Story 5. I still haven't seen 4.
Yeah. I mean, you're not necessarily missing anything. I think it's a fine film, but it's almost like a side film. It's not like we already had
the finale, which was Toy Story 3.
So yeah. We don't need another one. All right, let's get into some happier stuff. Have you seen the new Aliens Fire Team?
I have not, but we could do a live reaction.
Yeah, let's do it. Alien.
Going on IGN.
There are some places.
Katanga. Kind of... I mean, I'm here for it 100,000%. That looks pretty fucking cool. Like it. Like it a lot. It gives me vibes of, you remember the Alien versus Predator game that came out? That had the good one. Yeah. Like the marine part was kind of cool, but you could definitely tell that Alien and the Predator portions were what it was designed for. And then I think we got the disappointment that was Colonial Marines, where it's like they have tried to do Aliens in terms of the tactical sense, like from the human perspective. And I think that they accomplished it with Isolation in terms of getting that horror aesthetic. But with this, I feel like this gives that, like, co-op tacticality. I'm so sorry, guys, if that's loud. This tacticality to, and it basically the top comment on the video was, so Aliens Left for Dead. And I'm like, I'm here for it. Yes, absolutely. I will take it. What?
I've been muted this whole fucking time.
I could hear you.
Yeah, you could hear me, but the stream couldn't. Well, that's the show, guys. I don't even know where to go from there. I literally have no idea how long they've not been hearing me, other than I can assume it was at the beginning of Aliens. I don't feel like talking about it again.
Yeah.
Fuck me, dude. So to end the show today, what we're going to do is some nerdy Would You Rather. So do you have any?
I could probably come up with one if you want to go first.
I'll go first. Okay. So going with kind of Wanda and that kind of thing, now that we've had Mandalorian seasons 1 and 2, and now we have WandaVision, we can kind of get an idea of the quality of Disney Plus, at least for their flagship things. Obviously, they have a bunch of other like side stuff, like High School Musical, the musical, or whatever. I haven't seen that, so I can't talk about the quality of that. But now that we've kind of had two different examples, would you rather have a serialized show or an episodic show?
Would you consider WandaVision serialized?
Yes.
Okay.
I think like the first two episodes were technically episodic, but then it went into serialized.
I personally feel like I would say serialized. Yeah. I think that Mandalorian had a good balance of having a through line to where it had a backstory to it, but they were still able to make it Monster of the Week episode. So it just depends on the show, honestly. That's going to be my answer.
Yeah.
It's a case by case basis, because I feel like it works for, things like The Mandalorian. I don't feel like it worked for The Witcher.
Yeah, I think I am going to go serialized as well, because as much as I love Mandalorian, I do have to admit that having to go on this dumbass side mission in the middle of a season always seems so weird. Now, usually they do a good job of. Like, I guess the one example is when he goes back to the one planet and he does a mission with Cara Dune and then the black guy from Rocky. I can't remember his name.
Oh, God. That's going to make me mad. Carl Weathers.
There you go. So he does with Cara Dune and the Carl Weathers character. So he does that. The only reason he was there is to like get repairs or whatever. And they're like, well, since you're here, would you mind helping us with this thing over here? And even though we did get little hints here and there of the overall story, it still was very much like, oh, here's this side objective. You know, like this isn't an MMO. This is a fucking TV series, damn it.
Yeah.
So for that reason alone, I do prefer the serialization. I think it's okay to have side episodes or whatever, but I definitely do like the more serialized version of, you know, of a show. So give me 1 second. I don't know if you can fill some time.
When it comes to would you rather, is it really, there's a lot of different variations you can do. Right now, here, let me see if I can, this is what I'm dealing with right now. A large loaf. Look at how fat this cat is. I know he's unhealthy, or he's healthy, but he's just fat. Look at just, he is quite ridiculous. Quite ridiculous. I've been dealing with him for about 20 minutes now. You're waking up. That's really hard as far as, not hard, kind of expand on what I was talking about with The Witcher. I didn't see a lot of The Witcher. I mean, I actually saw all but the last episode pretty much. And maybe it's just because the time jumping. I don't think that the different story each episode worked for that show.
What are we talking about?
The Witcher. My answer about The Witcher.
Yeah. So yeah, serialized, I think, is my preferred. So joining us now is Madeline.
Who is putting a pouty face on.
She was upset.
You upset?
And Zozo, you get her forehead. Okay.
Skedaddle. So Skedaddle. I have, so kind of going with WandaVision. Mm-hmm. Mine's pretty simple. It's just more of a curiosity. Would you rather have the situation be Wanda herself creates or plants the seed for mutants to be created, similar to House of M in reverse?
Right.
Or would you rather it be in having to do with a multidimensional tear?
Oh, man. I mean, for the sake of comic book fans, I think I would rather Wanda be the catalyst, so to speak.
Yeah.
Because, and I mean, I think that's what everybody expected because this was adapted from House of M. So yeah. I think that's what everybody expected. So I think I would prefer that because at this point, we just don't know if mutants are going to be, you know, put in, when they're going to be put in.
There was a report that they are, like, and I don't know if it's just a rumor or a report, but it's a movie called The Mutants.
Oh.
And it's dumb. Like they're going to reboot, you know, the mutants, basically, like the X-Men. So, right. But yeah, I can agree with that because that's what I thought was going to happen. Because you can clearly see from the flashback episode the same emotional distraught that caused her to snap and kill all the mutants created this entire little mini world.
Yeah, yeah.
So it kind of plants the seeds of her being like, okay. And they're also already playing around with mutants. The idea that Wanda and Pietro had these genetics, these abilities that didn't manifest until they were of older age. Sounds a lot like the mutants.
Right, right.
So, yeah. I was showing them, I was showing the viewers what I'm dealing with right now. This loaf just passed out. Look, yeah, we both got
kids bugging us on stream.
Yeah.
So,
kidding.
You know what? I think at that note, then that's going to be the end of the show because. We have too many distractions at this point, but hopefully this first episode, I hope y'all enjoyed. You know, we're not always going to have news or we're not always going to have, you know, obviously when Falcon Winter Soldier, you bet your ass, we're going to be talking about that every week, but I'm just saying, you know, don't always expect it a certain way. It's really just going to be like, hey, I think the only thing you can expect from us is, words. What was I saying?
You can expect words. That is, yes, that is the primary objective. That is
technically true. I think the only thing you can expect is, like, what have we been doing this week? That's pretty much all you can expect from the Nick and Nate show is, hey, what have we been doing, you know? So, all right. Thank you guys for joining us for the Nick and Nate. The Nick and Nate show. Nick and Nate.
I'm Nate.
All right. Thank you guys so much. Obviously, I was Nick.
And I was Nate again.
Yes, yes, you were. All right, guys, thank you so much. And you guys have yourself a wonderful day.
I'm just one man, pull up solo. She drive a white Beetle, Yoko Ono. I've been that bitch back, Quasimodo. They standing outside, they want a photo. She go below the belt, that's a low blow. I let them talk, it's free promo.